Hare Krishna. So we have completed chapter 3 titled Karma Yoga. Shloka by shloka also we did, and we had the entire summary of the chapter. So we saw all the shlokas together in the previous video. Now let us try to understand, since we are moving to the next chapter, let's try to understand what is the connection between chapter 3 and chapter 4. So now in chapter 3 what happened is, Krishna, towards the end, he was speaking about lust, if you remember. So Krishna said that this lust is covering the knowledge. And then along with that, Krishna spoke about one should do Nishkama Karma Yoga. One should do one's duty, but without getting attached to work. And when someone does that, he becomes eligible to receive the transcendental knowledge. So now, in chapter 3, Krishna has glorified transcendental knowledge. So he said that by transcendental knowledge, if someone gains transcendental knowledge, what happens? First, the person, he moves from Sakama Karma Yoga to Nishkama Karma Yoga. Sakama Karma Yoga is the person is attached to the results of the work, to the work itself. And Nishkama Karma Yoga is the person is detached from the results of the work. So by receiving the transcendental knowledge, the person moves from Sakama Karma Yoga to Nishkama Karma Yoga. First. Second thing what Krishna spoke about the transcendental knowledge or glorified the transcendental knowledge is anyone who receives this transcendental knowledge, the intelligence becomes so much sharpened that such a person with such deliberate spiritual intelligence, because of the transcendental knowledge, he can conquer over the lust. Very, very important point. And then he also made a point that just by this transcendental knowledge, a person can move from the mode of passion to mode of goodness. So like these various points Krishna made in chapter 3, another very important point. In shloka number 30, in chapter 3, if we go back and see shloka number 30, so there Krishna is telling a very important point. He is saying, surrendering all your works onto me with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy, fight. So here Krishna has said, with full knowledge of me. Now Arjuna might have a question, okay, you're telling full knowledge of me, but where is your knowledge? Who will give that? So Krishna is telling now, I will give you the transcendental knowledge. And I'll also tell you that how this transcendental knowledge is received with proper channel. And so the next chapter, chapter number 4, is titled as Transcendental Knowledge. So now let's start with the first shloka of chapter 4. A very, very important shloka to discuss. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan manave praha manur ikshvakave abravet. So here, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lord Krishna spoke. Now Lord Krishna is going to speak transcendental knowledge to Arjuna. He is going to speak about himself. We are going to relish a lot in this chapter because we are going to discuss about Krishna and his appearance in this material world, why he comes, what are his activities and so on. But now Krishna is speaking something very, very different and important. He is saying that Imam Avyayam Yogam, this science which is imperishable science. And this science is not a normal science, this science is science of yoga. Then he is saying that this science was spoken by me, Proktavan. I spoke to whom? Vivasvate, to Vivasvan. I spoke to Vivasvan. So Vivasvan is the name of sun god. And then he says, Vivasvan praha manave. So Vivasvan spoke to Manu, his son. And then the next is given. So Manu is the father of mankind. And then Manur Ikshvakave Abravit. So Ikshvaku is the son of Manu. So Manu Abravit Ikshvaku. So Manu told the same thing to Ikshvaku. So now let's understand the sequence. So Krishna spoke to sun god Vivaswan, and Vivaswan spoke to the father of mankind, Manu Maharaj, and Manu spoke to his son, Ikshvaku. So this is the lineage, you know, that we are discussing here. So here, a very important thing that is coming into picture is something called as Guru Shishya Parampara or Guru Disciplic Succession. So let's see in detail about this particular shloka. So this knowledge that is there, this transcendental knowledge, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, leaders should know this very well. Why? Because they are the ones who lead the entire society. They are the ones who want to lead some people. They want to lead different categories of people at different levels. And especially people who are in administration, they should know. They should know Bhagavad Gita very well, especially the principles of Bhagavad Gita very well. So why? Why the person should know? Because people under them, they will be benefited. These are some of the points. The royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. So it's not just giving them food, shelter, clothing. It's not about the administrative heads giving food, shelter, clothing to common public. It's about how these people at the top, they are making sure that people at the bottom are freed from the bondage, the material bondage of Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, birth, death, old age, disease, which is caused by lust. That is the greatest enemy, like Krishna was telling in the previous chapter. And what other thing will happen? This cultivation of spiritual knowledge, human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this human form is meant for this, to understand what is given in Bhagavad Gita, to understand and revive our relationship with Krishna. This is what is human form meant for and nothing else. So when the royal order at the top, the administrative heads, they know this knowledge, they can give that to the common public. And then, people may take advantage of this great science and pursue a successful path utilizing the opportunity of human form of life. They'll be on the right track if they very well know Bhagavad Gita, the principles of Bhagavad Gita, and finally attain the eternal destination, the goal of life. Now, let's understand the time factor which is coming here. Krishna is in Dwapar Yuga, speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And then he's speaking about Manu, he's speaking about Ikshvaku. So Ikshvaku is there in Treta Yuga somewhere. So the sequence of Yugas are Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. So Krishna is in Dwapar Yuga and he's speaking and he's telling Arjuna that I gave knowledge to Sun God before Treta Yuga. And in Treta Yuga what happened? The same knowledge was given to Ikshvaku, the king in the Sun Dynasty, Surya Vamsha, in which Lord Ramchandra also appeared. So here, let's understand about the sun first, sun god. In this millennium, the sun god is known as Vivaswan. So this Surya, the word Surya, is actually a title. It's not a person, it's a title. And a person holds the title. So who is holding the title now, the designation now? A person called Vivaswan. The king of the sun, which is the origin of all planets within the solar system. A very wonderful shloka from Brahma Samhita. It says, Yakcha Kshuresha Savita Sakala Grahana Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Teja Yasyagya Brahmati Samhrita Kala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So here, the sun god is called as Yaha Chakshuhu. He is considered, you know, to be the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See the importance of sun god here. And then, Savita is sun god. Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Sura Murtir. So, he is the king of all planets. He is the king of all planets. And Ashesha Tejaha. He is having immense intensity, immense power and heat, you know, that is emanating. And then, Yasyagya Brahmati Sambhrata Kala Chakro. On the order of Krishna, sun god is actually rotating. Now just imagine, the great personality, sun god, on the order of Krishna is working. So in this way, we understand Krishna's supremacy. So the last line says, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Krishna is that primeval Lord to whom we have to pay our repeated obeisances. Now he is that personality, Sun God. Now, let's try to understand now about the Kali Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Treta Yuga and Satyuga. Now Kali Yuga, lifespan of Kali Yuga or the entire span or the duration of Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years. Into two times, approximately, it's say approximately 8 lakh years. So suppose 4 lakh years is Kali Yuga, so 8 lakh years is Dwapar Yuga. And into 3 is Treta Yuga. So 4 into 3, that is 12 lakh. 12 lakh years, that is the duration of Treta Yuga. Now you club all of them together. It will be somewhere around 2 million years. 2 million years. Now, the thing that is told here is a very, very important point, that Manu spoke the Bhagavad Gita to his disciple and son Maharaj Ikshvaku. Now, the current Manu who is there, his duration is calculated as some 305,300,000 years, and out of which 120,400,000 years have passed. So don't get bewildered by the numbers. No, just understand that it's very, very huge number. That's it. So now, here, the thing that we have to understand is, what Krishna is saying here, that I spoke Bhagavad Gita to whom? To Vivaswan. Vivaswan spoke to Manu, Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. Manu and Ikshvaku, they are there in Treta Yuga. And Treta Yuga, now we said, you know, from Dwapar Yuga and Treta Yuga, we can understand, from Kali Yuga to Treta Yuga, we can understand, it's approximately 2 million years. So this Bhagavad Gita was given to Manu 2 million years back. But then, one important point to understand is, before Treta Yuga somewhere, before Treta Yuga, this knowledge was given to whom? This knowledge was given to Vivaswan by Krishna. Now, a nice estimate is made here. A rough estimate is that the Gita was spoken at least 120,400,000 years ago. In the human society, it has been extant for 2 million years. Now, this accepting that before the birth of Manu, the Gita was spoken by the Lord to his disciple, Sun God. This is the rough estimate. Now, suppose the current Manu, his age is what? 120 million years. Now, suppose this Bhagavad Gita was spoken before his birth to Sun God. So it's obvious that 120 million years have passed. And then that was given to Manu some 2 million years back. So in this way, the point that is made in all this calculation that is there is, this Bhagavad Gita was given to Sun God many, many, many years ago. This is the point that is made. So, it is a very important point to understand that Bhagavad Gita is not for the first time given to Arjuna. It was given before also. And when was it given to Arjuna? 5,000 years back in Dwapar Yuga. It was spoken to the sun god Vivaswan. Why was it spoken? Because he is also a Kshatriya and is the father of all Kshatriyas who are descendants of sun god or Surya Vamsha Kshatriyas. Now, the Surya Vamsha, as I said, Lord Ramchandra appeared in Treta Yuga, in Surya Vamsha. Bhagavad Gita is as good as the Vedas, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This knowledge is a Paurusheya, superhuman. Now, many times people ask us when we do book distribution that, can you give Veda? Do you have Vedas with you? Now, who has time to read Vedas? Do we have good amount of time to sit and read all the Vedas? So many thousands of verses are there in that. But the essence of all the Vedas, Krishna is giving to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, keeping all of us in the mind. Because Krishna knows these people will not have time. So let's give only 700 verses and let them understand that. So Bhagavad Gita is as good as the Vedas. Why? Because it is directly spoken by Krishna. And is also called as a Paurusheya. A Paurusheya means superhuman, or it can also mean transcendental, beyond human reach. that it is given. Vedic instructions are accepted as they are without human interpretation. The Gita must therefore be accepted without mundane interpretation. So we cannot give our own material interpretation to the verses of Gita. It should be accepted as it is, the way Arjuna accepted. And finally, it is said that Bhagavad Gita has to be accepted as it is from the disciplic succession, and it is described herein that Lord spoke to the sun god Vivasvan, Vivasvan spoke to the father of mankind Manu, Manu spoke to his son Ikshvaku. So how are we supposed to receive Bhagavad Gita? In the disciplic succession. We cannot just accept Bhagavad Gita from anyone and everyone. It has to be in the Guru Shishya Parampara. So in this particular verse, Krishna is making it very clear that this Bhagavad Gita should be received in Guru Shishya Parampara, and O Arjuna, I am giving you the same knowledge which I gave to the sun god long, long time back. Now the question is, then if it was given already, why Krishna is repeating? What is the need of repeating the Bhagavad Gita? That Krishna is giving the reason in the next shloka. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.